Okay. All right. Let's see if we can get it to work this time. Third time lucky, for Christ's sake. We won't dive too deeply into the stuff yet until I can manage to get Jacob on the feed. But yeah, we'll see if we can figure out our technical glitches. We are not very good when it comes to technology and that sort of thing. So it's fucking, for some reason, not giving me an option to invite him into the broadcast. But we'll see how we go this time around. Yeah, like I said, last time, very, very good round from us. Yes, all right. Looks like we're
this week, round 11, 32 and 18 on best bets. And like I said before, yeah, for the last 3 weeks, we've been over 60%. And if you were to put $100 on all of our best bets over the last 3 weeks, you would have won over $1,000 every single weekend, which is not a bad way to just be sitting and watching the footy and winning money while you do it. And yeah, so this week, basically, just a rapid reaction, only be 15 to 20 minutes. We'll just break down the round that was, all the bets that we had. And yeah, the most recent one that we just saw was Sharks beating Doggies 22-16. And we crushed it on that week game. We finally had some luck. We went 8-1 on best bets. And thank fuck, we had the Doggies over 15.5 points for one of those bets. We had the Dogs plus 6.5 points. And those both flipped from a loser to a winner with that last and by conversion. And I've been saying this for fucking years, that when teams are down 8, you have to take the pen when given the chance. And I'm pretty sure Doggies had the chance from maybe halfway. And I know they probably don't have a kicker that can kick it from 50 metres out. But that is the difference between some of these good teams and some of these shit teams. Dead set. It pays so much to have a good kicker. And Mbai is absolutely useless. And they've got Kerrod Holland out there. I don't know why they put him in. But yeah, gritty performance once again by the Dogs. But Sharks were just too good. And they're, now that they're pretty much fully healthy, they are turning into contenders.
Yep, so you're absolutely right. The Sharks are a really good team, and they did play really good footy. Yeah, the fucking Bulldogs. I mean, goal kicking was massive. I think they, at the end of the day, we had plus 6.5. We had a bunch of other plays. I think they deserve to be within 6.5 points in that game.
Yep.
Mbai missed the previous 3 conversions. I mean, you score 3 tries in that match. But luckily, I mean, only because the refs stopped the clock and sent someone for 10 that they came to their senses, they wanted to tap and go again and again. What are you fucking hoping to score an 8-point try?
Unreal.
Like, you have to kick the goal and then you have a chance to be in the game. And they were. It was a pretty good game. There were quite a few really entertaining games this round. And sorry, lads, if you have been trying to tune in, this is our third edition. I don't know if Winnie is in trouble with Zuckerberg. Wasn't able to get in. So it's Russ here. But I will just say, Facebook, people think we're Muppets, but Facebook is a shit app.
True.
And it really is not user-friendly for us. But if you do want a sweet app where you can access all our tips and all our multis, that's the Tripod app. But yeah, so that was Sunday, but now we can go back from the beginning of round 11, which was a really profitable round. And I was just going to say, 32 and 18 on plays, 64%. It's crazy to think that's a good round. It's crazy to think that we averaged better than that for all of 2017. It does go to show what a legendary year we had last year. And we are not hitting 66% this season, unfortunately, but 58%, still well above your break even, which is more 52.5%. So as you said, people who are following the plays are making a good amount of coin.
Bloody oath, and I'm seeing 2 questions pop up. Someone wants to ask for our take on the refs. I don't want to delve too deep into it, but I will just say that it has been very, very shocking behaviour from some of the referees lately. Terrible calls all around the park. And I swear, it seems every single week we're on the wrong side of fucking shit calls. And I know, you know, in a bettor's brain, you fucking, you know, you're automatically going to think that the calls are going against you. But I swear, we have had like 80% of bad calls go against us this year, referee-wise. Someone else is asking that there were 10 plays on the Sharks game. There were. We did push one of those bets. It was Sharkies under 4 tries. So we pushed on that one, went 8-1 on the rest.
On 2 points, to have the Sharks under 4 tries, you know, that shows the beauty of getting a good line, because you could have kind of just taken them under 3.5 in places that was widely available, but we put a little bit of money on under 3.5 and a bit, and a bigger chunk on under 4.5, and the net effect is that if they score 3 or less, we double our money, but it would take 5 tries to beat us. That's obviously very valuable to minimize losses as well. Our only loss in that game that just finished was we had the Dogs plus 4 second half. They lose the second half by 6 points. Of course, we mentioned Mbai's kick and killed us. And yeah, I do agree. Refereeing has been shocking. And we try to be objective. There's no point being stubborn and thinking everything's against you and that you are right. You have to acknowledge sometimes that you're not right. You have to be willing to learn. But it does seem that way. And we do these fucking, you know, live. And sometimes we're hot under the collar if we feel like players are going against us. Just the game that ended, one more point. I mean, to give a penalty against the team in possession is so massive. And it was 10-all when Aaron plays the ball and he earned a penalty. He gets his legs tugged and it should be the Dogs maybe to hit in the front. And next second, you know, it's 22-10. So that did change it. And there'll be a couple other matches we'll mention briefly where calls made a huge difference in the final result.
Yeah, absolutely. And to touch on you, I'll be really quick. No consistency with the 10-minute sin bin. I mean, there'll be some times when teams get fucking multiple warnings and nothing happens. There'll be other times when it's fucking 5 minutes later, they get the next pen, they get sent off. And I will say, yeah, like you said, very, very valuable getting under 4 tries instead of under 3.5. I would almost say that that half point is almost one of the most valuable half points you can get in any sport. Maybe the only sport that you would get a more valuable half point would be in a soccer match. But getting a half try is absolutely massive and it's certainly worthwhile shopping around to get that half point number. Backtrack to Thursday, we had the Panthers beating the Tigers 16-2. We went 7-1 on plays on that one and we just loved the under for that. We thought it was a great spot for the under. And, you know, like we've said, we did think the Tigers were a little bit overrated and just the way they play always trends towards an under. But let me ask you this, Panthers were very impressive despite being a little bit shorthanded. Cleary does look like he's pretty much fully healthy. And I would argue that he might, he should be in contention for a New South Wales jersey. But let me ask you this much, Saka. We've watched the Tigers play a lot this week. We're into round 11. And we always harp on about how pretty bad the Tigers' attack is and how they have won a lot of close games and been a bit overrated. How many games do you think out of 11 they've scored over 20 points?
Yeah, probably about two.
Three out of 11. And I think that's finally catching up to them. You know, they won a lot of close games at the start of the year, but let's not forget, you know, these are one of the worst halves in the comp and that roster is not stacked top to bottom. I think that the Tigers are going to have a tough run home.
Yes, and what we will do is give you a really brief takeaway that's going to help us make money in the future. So what did we learn from that game? And look, I will not take much away from the Tigers because that was some of the best defense I've ever seen, to be honest with you. You mentioned sin bins. They had a man sent in the bin second half. They're fatigued. They defended their line. I think they may have conceded a try early in the second half, but they only conceded 2 tries for the whole match and didn't concede when they were down to 12. And I swear they were on their try line for half of the second half. A mountain of penalties against them. And that helped us keep all the unders. And we only lost one play, which was getting the Tigers +6. And I admit that Panthers were really impressive. And I need to reevaluate the Panthers too. I thought that these injuries would catch up with them. I didn't know if Cleary would instantly be back to his best. And you do wonder whether we've underrated Hook, dare I say. We think that he's one of the worst coaches in the NRL, but they've lost a lot of key players. You lose Mansour, you lose Wonga Blake, you lose Dylan Edwards, and you lose Cleary, and you don't miss a beat. And they've been rolling teams, and they're just playing with good energy, and they're playing good attacking footy. Guys like Peachy are running havoc, running amok in the middle of the field with offloading. So the Panthers are impressive. I have to take notice of that performance.
Yeah, definitely. And then next up, we have the Warriors beating the Eels 24-14. We had 7 plays on that one. We still had a winning round going 4-3. I don't know. I don't know about this Eels team. It always seems to me like just in those last few weeks, it seems like they're just not fucking putting in 100% every week. There's just the effort is not there and doing just stupid shit. Like, I swear, like, Gutho, they put that new Warriors, put the grubber in, it's going out of bounds, and Gutho decides to kick it out at the 10-metre line to give the Warriors a repeat set of 6. Just an abomination of bad decisions. And I wonder if this is going to catch up to them, and at some point, they're going to give up on the season. It may be closer than we think. For the Warriors, just another very, very solid performance. No Sean Johnson, but Lino was good, despite the injury. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we kind of say, and in our power ratings and that sort of stuff, we say that a winger, as good as a winger can be, they're only worth half a point. But these New Zealand Warriors wingers, they are fucking big, they're tall, they're athletic, and they scored 2 of those tries just fucking out of nothing. You know, getting up for those bombs, fucking just athletic plays, being able to put the ball down, and I swear it can make the difference. And that is a huge asset for them.
Yeah, the Eels, the story of their season, they're not too far away, but they're just not good enough. And like the Warriors would have never won a game like that away from New Zealand without RTS, without Johnson. But this is a different Warriors team. And we didn't want to take them just knowing that the Eels could be actually scary and unpredictable, but quite disappointing by the Eels really in attack. You would have thought that they could release the shackles a little bit, but they only score 14 points in the end, I think. So yeah, their season is just pretty much fucked at this point. And the Warriors, that is a statement win and a confidence-boosting win off a 30-point loss.
Yeah, definitely. And then next up, a game that you were at, I guess I'd say happily enough, but it was probably grim for you. The Broncos beating the Roosters 28-22 at Suncorp. We did love the Roosters, but I'll tell you the beauty of shopping around for different lines and stuff. We still went 4-6 on plays in that one, despite getting beaten all ends up. And I'll tell you, that was a very, very impressive performance by the Broncos. I won't take anything away from them. They were very, very good. And we've been very low on the Broncos this year. But that was one of their, probably their best performance of the year. But I'll tell you something else. That game could have gone very, very differently had James Roberts not fucking morphed into the fastest man alive in that last 5 minutes and scored that try. I mean, you know, we were about to cash, I think, you know, 9 out of 10 bets if the score stayed like that and the Roosters did win by 6. But I won't take too much away from the Roosters. I thought they were very good. I just think Broncos were too good on the day.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it because I was there and had money on the Roosters, but one of multiple games this round where the score was tied with 5 minutes to go, and that's exciting. And that game was bloody exciting. It was back and forth all night. And I do still believe this before the round, and I still believe now the Roosters are the most talented team in the competition. So if I had to bet, I'd probably pick them to win in September. And I do think they made so many chances and they blew so many opportunities. And on a different night where a couple of passes stick, whether it be a forward or just not dropping the ball on multiple times when they open Brisbane up, they score 6 or 7 tries in that game. And we did have them. We had them scoring in the 20s. We had them winning the first half. We did get all those plays right. We didn't count on Brisbane scoring 28 points. And I was watching it with my missus and I was actually foreshadowing it the whole night, not realising, saying, that guy is like one of the fastest players in the NRL. I'm glad the Roosters are bottling it. Like, they've just got to keep him, not give him space. They're doing well. They're not giving him space. He's the fastest man in the game. And sure enough, we were perfectly positioned. We were on that sideline, just raised up, and just see him work his magic. And, I don't want to harp on this one, but it was a ridiculous decision by Sutton in his shooting for 15 straight wins to send off Dylan Napa. I mean, no one's gone out there deliberately trying to headbutt someone. I mean, I will put a little bit, like 10% of the blame on Napa. He looked like he fly out recklessly. And if it's a penalty on halfway, I can live with a penalty to Broncos. But you can't fucking send someone off. It's one thing when there's 4 penalties in a row on your goal line early in a game.
Yep.
A sin bin. Okay, that's a fair penalty. When you sin bin someone with 5 minutes to go in a tie game, you are going so far towards deciding the outcome of the game. And it's not a sin bin offence. It's like, you know, it's a head clash. So that was disappointing. But at that point, Brisbane had already scored 22. And, you know, you're probably not going to cover -3.5 even right at that point if he stays on the field. So it didn't hurt us too much, but it did hurt the Roosters. In saying all that, I think they're going to be fine. And Brisbane, extremely impressive because they have so many key forwards out. And other blokes are stepping up and putting their hand up. Guys like Pangai Jr. and a couple of other guys they've blooded. It is impressive, and you can see how much it meant to Bennett because they fought and they did not let the Roosters have it easy, and you hang around, you give yourself a chance to win, and that's what they did, and 29,999 people there were happy.
Yes, bloody oath. And to half on your point, I do think, you know, everyone kind of goes on, oh, fuck, the Roosters are so shit, like, fucking never betting on the Roosters again, but don't do that. Come the end of the year, they will be a top 4 side, they will probably make the grand final, and they will probably win it. Next up, we have the Titans beating the Knights 33-26. We only had 5 players on that one, but we did go 2-3. Won't spend too much time on this one. You got 2 shitty teams, and I think the home crowd just brought the Titans home for them. And of course, it's one of those ones where we did like the unders, and we did cash the two first half under bets. But it did just sail over in the end, and pretty shitty goal line defense from both teams, and that's why they are, you know, the two shittest teams in the comp. But once again, Ponga showed his magic. Very, very impressive performance by him. And the Knights have got something to build on there. But, sucks. We were kind of close to taking the Titans, +0.5 in both halves. Didn't end up doing it. And, of course, they both come through. But it's always the way.
Yeah, we said earlier in the year that the Knights won a few games with a bit of luck. And now you look at their last few matches, they've just had no luck. They should have won this game too. I know that, it was, you know, pretty much a pick 'em game. I thought the Knights would be the side. You liked the Titans. We stayed off it. We liked unders, actually. And you mentioned we hit 2 out of 3 in the first half. I mean, the Titans scored with 60 seconds left in the first half. And then it did blow out second half. A lot of that was to do with sin binning and players just not willing to tackle. But the Knights, they had 13 on 11 at one point. couldn't score a try. When the Titans were down to 12, they let the Titans score a try with a man down. Those two incidents kill you. You get up by 8 points second half and you drop the ball off the kickoff and Titans score a play later. So they got no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah, bloody earth. And then next up, probably one of our favourite games of the week and the one we copped the most shit for was South beating the Cowboys 20-19 in a very controversial game. We had 10 plays on it. We did end up going 7-3. So really good game for us. But yeah, I mean, we were fucking copping flack left, right and centre. People being like, why the fuck are you taking the Cowboys? They just lost to the Tigers. Souths are rolling. They just beat Dragons. And that's what you have to do as a veteran. That's why we've been able to go 60% over the last 4 years. Is sometimes you do have to take the teams that the public is jumping off the fucking bandwagon and against the teams that everyone wants to bet on. It's just simple maths that more people bet on a certain team, their odds are going to go down and you're going to get less value. And we had the perfect storm for this one. Cows with the rest, and they should have won that game. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say bullshit decision, but another fucking penalty late that decides a game. I'm fucking sick of it. Not taking anything away from the Rabbits, but just be careful because Alex Johnson got injured last week. Burgess got injured, had that, I think, groin strain. So we've been saying that, like, when the Rabbits are fully healthy, they are a top four team and a contender. But when they're not, and Johnson and Burgess have been, you know, two of their best players this year, so we'll have to keep a close eye on how they go. But yeah, just another soul-crushing fucking loss for the Cows. And now, you know, even though we know they're a stacked roster, it's a fucking long way back to make the eight for them now.
Yeah, that is shattering loss for the Cows. And you just can't lose that game. It's just unbelievable when you take the lead and you get that intercept and with under like 2 minutes to go, you're attacking their goal line. You end up getting a repeat set and you need a different formation off the dropout. You don't need to worry about the middle of the field. The only thing that can hurt you is the sidelines or a regather kick. And that's so for them to not only regather the kick, but also somehow make a break and get over halfway. I mean, you just can't let that happen. So they have no one to blame but themselves. I mean, it's harsh because they're up one and Granville shoots through and gets called offside. And now you can see the penalty worth two. Like if the game had been tied and that happens, you say, well, if he wasn't offside, maybe Reynolds slots the winning field goal anyway. But for that to be the difference between winning and losing versus winning and extra time, it hurts even more. They needed that. But at the end of the day, from a betting perspective, you take a talented team like the Cows and people can't argue they're talented because it's the same roster that made the grand final last year without Thurston and Scott. And they're at home and they're desperate and they get 9 days to prepare. You just have to bet on that team. And we were getting points as well. That was an easy decision. But we actually said on Wednesday, if you liked the Bunnies, you should have played them earlier in the week. Like you could have got them at Pick'em. You could have actually got them catching. So it's not necessarily which side you like, but it's about betting at the right time as well. And we do give good advice on that. And yeah, we were unlucky that final play cost us as well because we had the Cowboys leading at either break. We didn't get that, but we still win 7 out of 10.
Yep, absolutely. And the next one, we had Manly, probably the most shocking result of the week, to be honest. Manly beating the Storm 24-4. We didn't love the game. We did have one player. We just played the Storm -5.5, and obviously that one didn't lose, but not to worry. It's only one best bet at least. And we do try and generally, you know, have a bit more bets on games that we do like a lot and less bets on ones that we don't like as much. And this was one of those games, but fuck me, I mean, to be tied at 2-2 and then lose by 20 points, very disappointing for Storm. But I mean, Jesus Christ, like, I can't remember what the score was, but the weirdest try I've ever fucking seen, maybe in my entire life. You've got Cherry Evans tries to grubber it out, kicks it as hard as he can towards the sideline, and it gets a freakish bounce, fucking grubbers into the end goal, and Matthew Wright, of all fucking people, puts it down in the corner. But yeah, really good two performances in a row by Manly, and we might have to slightly upgrade them. But then, you know, you've got fucking Dylan Walker actually might be dead. And he's out for 6 weeks, I think. So that's a huge blow for Manly. But, I mean, yeah, the Storm will welcome back when Cam Smith comes back because they just, yeah, they looked not shell-shocked, but they just looked like they were really struggling in offense to get anything going with those young halves.
Yeah, if that's a game you didn't watch, 24-4 does not tell you how close it was. I mean, it was 10-4. Late with the Storm, like attacking Manly's line. Manly made a couple of amazing, and there was one moment, I know Uwate held up Chambers like miraculously, and the play before, I think it was Winterstein made an absolute amazing try-saving tackle as well. You're that close to being 10-all. You mentioned the freaky try off the Cherry kick that somehow defied gravity and momentum. claws and stayed in. And that's Munster's fault as well. He gave up on the play. It literally stopped and then got himself. And Bellyache will let him know about that one. So the Storm weren't that bad. They just did not hold the ball all night. They had obviously had Curtis Scott sent off, which was a pretty funny moment. And I think they had someone else binned late as well. So they're down to 11 in the end. But Manly, you said two impressive performances in a row. Don't forget the week before that, lose by 2 points to the Roosters as well, and a really brave effort. So, and it's funny because about 3 weeks ago or a month ago, we bet on Manly and they blew a lead against the Knights. And we copped so much shit saying, you can't bet on Manly. Like, they're not trustworthy. They're a shit team. You're wasting money betting on shit teams. And that was the week that we lost when the Bulldogs lost the lead and when Manly lost the lead. And the last 3 weeks, you bet on those teams with the handicap, you went 6-0. They covered every game. So it just goes to show that you won't make money if you only want to bet on the flashy teams. Like, you know, for example, I guess the Bunnies would have been flavour of the month to bet -2.5 last night. But you're not winning, consistently taking the team that everybody likes. You've got to look for the ugly duckling. And that's helped us so far this round, helped us again today.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess to round it out, the early game today, we had the Dragons beating the Raiders 25-18. And we stayed away from this one. I guess, it was one of those games we didn't quite know. We did disagree a little bit. And you know what? Oh, we actually would not have both won. But anyway, line was roughly 7.5, 8.5. But yeah, I mean, once again, another good performance by the Raiders. A game that they were right in there till the very end and could have probably won. But the Dragons, very, very impressive. Once again, I mean, you know, Ben Hunt looked pretty healthy. He didn't have the best game, but we'd have looked great again. And that Dragons forward pack is fucking rolling. But yeah, once again, fuck me, the Raiders start well and then they just seem to fade in the second half. But just a lot of those games lately where the Raiders have been right in it and then lost at the death. And I'm similar to the Eels where I'm starting to wonder whether it's going to catch up to them at some point and they'll fucking give up on the season. But I don't think that's quite yet.
I mean, if in doubt, if we think we want, you know, want to make some bets, we will share bets. We're not trying to protect our record. Our record is very good this season. But we've always said, look, if we're 50-50, should we release it? We will release it so there's more plays for people. People can decide what to bet. People want our picks on games. So it takes a fair bit for us to find nothing and to not give out a play. But that has been a theme. The last, month, there's been a couple of Raiders games where we just didn't want to take part in it because 1 week, they're fucking, you know, like having an impressive away double-digit win against the Cows. And then another week, they're getting blown off the park by 20. And you just don't know, such a Jekyll and Hyde team. And today, really thought that they were pretty impressive. I thought Blake Austin didn't seem like he was, like his ankle was troubling him too much. I think it was ankle that hurt him the week before. And the Dragons, you knew that they were going to be a lot better than last week against Bunny. And they were, and they deserved to, you know, to win that one. We probably were more likely to take the points with the Raiders. You could have probably got as high as 9.5. We were maybe looking for a 10. But if they don't show up there, then that's not going to be enough points against the Dragons. But credit to the Stickies men. It was a good performance. And it was, another entertaining game as well.
Yeah, Raiders this year are like one of those teams like the Warriors of years past. Not this year's Warriors, but you know, back in the day, like even last year and years before, the Warriors have had a talented roster. They either go out there and fucking shit the bed or they fucking put in a performance for the ages and can blow out a team. So, yeah, Raiders are one of those teams. That's probably why we stayed away because even with a line of, let's say, 8.5, 10.5, you just know if you get the Raiders that don't fucking turn up, they'll lose by 20 to 30 points. But if you get the Raiders that do turn up, they could just as easily win that game. So the Raiders this year especially are one of those teams that you probably, when they're an underdog, you probably just want to play them for the straight-up win rather than catch the points because if they are on, they'll fucking win. But that will wrap it up for this week, guys. Round 11, another winning week. Like always, make sure you download the Tripod app, TRYPOD. You can search it in the App Store on Google Play. Once again, we gave away hundreds of dollars in bonus bets this week. So even if you don't fucking follow our plays, even if you're a recreational punter that doesn't bet that often, you always want an extra 50 or 100 bucks in your account and that's all free to enter. So and that's pretty much it for this week. You got anything else, mate?
Yeah, the beauty of our app, it's not just all about us. There's tipsters in every sport and racing as well. You've got NBA, obviously heating up. I know there's racing meets. You were at the races yesterday yourself, and obviously. There's AFL, there's rugby punters. It's all happening. I mean, there's a round ball World Cup happening next month.
I wish I fucking so checked the app when I was at the races. I fucking didn't win one bet.
Yeah, you should have been on the app for that one, mate. That's a rookie mistake. Hopefully not many people are making that mistake by now because, there was a post. I think we did it this week. Someone hit 100-1 same game multi. Yes. So it's all happening. And these are posts people are sharing before the event, not the bloke that tells you he hit 100-1 after, which doesn't help. So yeah, it's exciting stuff. But thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll catch you Wednesday night.
Yeah, catch you Wednesday night. And one thing I did want to add, like, I would say the perfect way to use the app, if I'm just a recreational punter, I hop on there, you know, it's a little bit before the game. I think, oh, fuck, Dragons are playing Raiders. You fucking just put it in the search bar, you search Dragons or you search Raiders, and you see all the fucking tips that come up. Or you search NRL and you just see all the tips for that day, and you can then pick and choose and decide what you want to go with. So that's the beauty of it. You can, you know, just before you're about to put a bet on, you know, you hop on the app and just see what everyone else thinks, and you can kind of make your own decisions from there. But yeah, we'll catch you 6 p.m. on Wednesday night. Breakdown round 12, and hopefully shoot for four in a row winning weeks. We will see you then, guys.
Lego.